In this final talk on James' letter, I'm going to summarize what James says about God. We're going to have a review of what has been said on each broadcast on James. I'll give the Bible references to the verses we consider so that you can read them for yourselves if you have a New Testament. For James, God is not a vague being somewhere outside the universe, but a loving and gracious and faithful Father involved in our everyday lives. James is clear that there is only one God, not many. He writes, "You believe that there is one God? Good." Chapter 2, verse 19. He goes on to say that just believing the fact is not enough in itself. The Christian faith is a relationship with that one, our Father. God is a generous God, wanting the best for our lives. He gives us many wonderful gifts. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Chapter 1, verse 17. God does not change like we do. He does not change like shifting shadows. Chapter 1, verse 17 again. He does not tempt people to do wrong. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." Chapter 1, verse 13. He gives us tests to strengthen us, but not to weaken us. It is God who chooses to bring us alive as Christians by giving us his word of truth. Chapter 1, verse 18. We cannot make ourselves into Christians or be born a Christian. We become Christians by receiving his word into our lives, by making Jesus our Saviour and Lord. God desires men and women to lead a righteous life. James writes, "Man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you." Verses 20 and 21. Our God, says James, is concerned that what we do as Christians should be motivated by practical, down-to-earth kindness, particularly to the vulnerable in our society, to the fatherless and the widows, those with addictions and problems hard to solve. Verse 27. God wants our language to be pure and decent. He wants us to keep a check on what we say. Chapter 3, verse 2 onwards. Our speech should be a blessing to other people. God does not have favourites, says James, of race or gender or social standing. People with riches do not impress God. Chapter 2, verse 1 onwards. God has given a guideline as to how we should treat other people. Love your neighbour as yourself. Chapter 2, verse 8. James tells us the amazing truth that all people are made in God's image and likeness. Chapter 3, verse 9. Elsewhere in the Bible we learn that truth, and we also learn that his image in us has been spoiled by our sin. In all of us, we all need to be recreated and God's image in us restored. This means that we must treat all men and women with respect as created by God and help them to see how they can have the image of God restored in them by receiving Jesus, the true and exact image of God, into their lives. Quoting from the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, James teaches us that God opposes the proud and gives grace, that is, help, to the humble. Chapter 4, verse 6. Why does God oppose proud people? Pride is a form of self-centeredness, and we can only be truly ourselves when God is the center of our lives. Pride is at the root of almost all sins which people commit. Our true humanity is found in loving God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Pride rejects this love of God. God longs to lift us up to himself. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Chapter 4, verse 10. James reminds us that it is not our job to criticize our fellow human beings. God is the only judge who matters. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Chapter 4, verse 12. God has a will and purpose for our lives. Wise people will try to find out what that will is, says James, and not just rely on their own feelings. Verses 13 to 14. God allows us to go through trials and sufferings and sickness, but can transform them all. James reminds us that a person in the Old Testament, Job, suffered greatly in the loss of his possessions, his servants, his family, and his health. But God had the last word and blessed Job wonderfully in the end. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, says James, chapter 5, verse 11. So what a wonderful God is ours. Is he your God? Is he your heavenly Father? James urges us all to draw near to him. Have you done that? He knows our sins and our failings and still loves us and is prepared to make us his children in his family if we come to him, deeply sorry for our sins and determined to make Jesus our Saviour and Lord. James calls Christians believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 2, verse 1. Think of it. The lowliest, humblest, weakest Christian is a son or daughter of a glorious, all-powerful King. James opens his letter by calling himself a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 1. To become a Christian believer is to become a servant of Christ, to begin to stop living for oneself and to live for him and others. First step, draw near to God by turning away from your sins and trusting Christ to save you and give you forgiveness. Next steps, a daily following of the Master, doing his will. Listen to James. Draw near to God, and he will come near to you. May God bless you, everyone.